It's just life to life, okay? Life to life. So we want to encourage you with that. I did want to say, as Connor did a good job with that, that we have bought special paper, so you visitors with us, if you'll see, it just easily rips off, and you can sign the bottom and give us your information. So we'd love for you to do that. And then you could keep the top with your notes and have this, we can have this to keep encouraging you. You turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6 we're in. We're going to look this morning at an aspect of the body life of Christ, if you want to call it that, of a relational aspect that we need in the body of Christ and that has been neglected many times by the church, sadly. It's through the pages of the New Testament. We've highlighted, we've championed it here. We call it, well, we don't call it, it is the reciprocal commands of the New Testament. We put those forth. We have tried to emphasize those things. The one another commands in the Scriptures. And that's what it means to grow in Christ. And Satan's plan is to get every believer isolated. You know that. I mean, that's, you've all seen the Westerns when they're riding along on their horses, you know, and whatever the evil is that's around picks them off one by one. You know, after the third guy, I've always wondered about that. After the third, you know, after Joe and Horatio and whoever, if I was the last one in line, I'd move up. It's like, wait a minute. Every time we turn around, somebody's gone. Just picking people off. That's what Satan likes to do. But one of the questions we need to ask even before we read the passage is, who is in danger in this passage? Who is this mainly addressed to? And for some, it may be a surprise. Let's read Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another, for each one shall bear his own load. I know what some of you are thinking. The Bible has contradicted itself. No, it hasn't. It just, in our English, sounds like it has. But we'll clear that up as we go along. Who's in danger here? There's been a transgression in the church. There's been an, as it says here, an overtaking of someone. And something needs to be done about that. So, the scripture here, Paul is telling us, if you want to have the overview, it's that we are fulfilling the law of Christ by bearing each one another's burden. Now, I think it's kind of humorous that Paul would phrase it, the law of Christ. You can almost hear him saying, I have been shouting to you, the church at Galatia, this region, churches in Galatia, that you are, you're obsessed with law keeping. Don't you know you've been set free from the law? The law was to do one thing, it was to lead you to a relationship with Jesus Christ. And now that he has entered your life, and now that through the Holy Spirit Christ lives in you, now you are called to a, if you want to keep the, it's almost like Paul says, if you want to keep that word around, okay, I want you to fulfill the law of Christ. He throws it out there. You can almost hear him saying that. But see, it's not some law that is some little activity or spurious thing that you can just check off and go on your way. And see, a lot of times legalists, that's what they get into. They get into checking off the squares and not dealing with heart issues. And we're going to see here that the Holy Spirit, through Paul, is concerned about the heart issues. But Paul has spent five verses, he's warning someone, and you know what? It is not the one whose sin has now been known. It's actually the one who goes to correct that sin. And so we could hear the word caution, caution, caution. Look out. If you are prompted by the Spirit to go and correct, He's giving you a manual. Well, not even a manual. He's giving you the reason that you are to be careful when you go, because you could be in danger. We know all of the reality and even the symbols used in Scripture about God. God is light, and in Him no darkness dwells. That's not true about the enemy, is it? In fact, the Scripture says, because men's deeds are evil, they like to hide under the cover of darkness. I don't think I have ever walked. I remember as a youth, actually, on a choir tour, going to Bourbon Street in New Orleans. I don't remember a single establishment that was lit as well as this auditorium's lit this morning. there was flashing lights, maybe, and there were certain things going on, but it was dark. You go to most places. I remember going to New York City then a year or two later or whenever, and went with a person who had some cousins there, and they were going to show these two Southerners New York. And they did. They drove us to some places they shouldn't have driven us to because it wasn't even safe on the street. And we went into one of these establishments. And I remember, oh man, just feeling the presence of evil, the presence of darkness pressing in. So Satan likes to keep things undercover, but if we bring it to the light and we bring things to Christ, who is the light, healing takes place. We're responsible when we know there's been a trespass, when we know someone has been, and I love the word overtaken, it's not chosen lightly. When someone, they haven't planned it, this wasn't something, it just circumstances, their weakness, they were overcome. It says, you who are spiritual, restore such a one. Now, we got to be careful there. You do a little bit of mining there in that passage, in the original and in things. It just simply means you who are of the Spirit. Well, if you're born again, you're of the Spirit. And we had just gotten through studying Galatians 5. If you're of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, gentleness. You who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness. I wasn't talking about some kind of elite class of Christian. You're a brother and sister in the body of Christ, and you know someone who's been overtaken in something. You and I have a responsibility to come and restore, to make right, to put it back in place. I brought this morning. Yes, I did I do watch commercials. I do look at certain things on the internet that say this is the greatest thing since sliced bread, and sometimes it captures me. It's called fixed, with it kind of spelled differently. Zana hates it when they do that. Stop a minute, you know. I know all you teachers just cringe when you see stop a minute. It's like, that's not the way it's spelled. Fixed. It's a pretty neat gizmo. You put it in, and under in your cars these days is a computer, and you stick this thing in, and if you've got a smartphone, you can go to the app, and it will tell you what's wrong with your car so that that wonderful, nice mechanic that we've all run into, and he gives you 10 things, you came in for one thing, and he gives you 10, you can check them off and go, you know what, Fix says I don't have 10 things wrong. Fix says that I have the very thing I came in for, and that's what I want fixed. It's diagnostic. It's to restore the thing back to working order, and that's the idea here. This coming to this person is that you're trying to get them back in line with God's will, because being in line with God's will is a wonderful thing. It's a joyful thing. Being, as a child of God, being outside of God's will is a sorrowful. So you're to go to that one, you who are of the Spirit, and you're seeking to make right something. Now, I know all of us, when we think about this, we think, you know, I just want to live my life. Just want to get up in the morning, have my coffee, breakfast, go about my business. I don't want to be anybody else's business. I don't want them in mine. You know that. That's what the world said. And here's, again, because Christ's principles usually are upside down of the world's principles, or the world's principles upside down of his. It says, no, no, there is a responsibility that belongs to all of us in the body. Not, again, just to a select few, but everyone. Because, see, you get, by the nature of human nature and even a church situation, you will get closer to some people than others. Maybe in your life group, or maybe in some just sharing of commonality, you'll get closer. And so you will be able to open up to them more. And they have a responsibility, if something goes wrong in your life, to help you get back on track. Now, let me caution on two things here as we're going through this. I don't want from this message to create a buzz of busybodiness. I don't know about you, but there's enough things on my prayer list to keep me busy a long time. And we're going to look at some of the fears that we have about this very thing of going to someone and trying to help them. But then you can go on, it's just like everything else in truths in Scripture. There's the center of biblical tension, and then there's the extreme. So you can create a fellowship where everybody's going, did you see what you're talking about? I think I better go to them. And then you just get this thing where everybody's afraid to even give a prayer request during life group. Last time I gave you a prayer request, somebody came up to me. I told y'all about the fella at college who came to me two or three times saying he had a problem with me. He never defined it. And by his third confession, I was ready to either leave or ask him to leave. It's like, you know, every time I walked around the corner of a building after studying in the library, I looked, you know, to see if he was there. You know, got to be kind of awkward. See him in the cafeteria, and I'd just go, okay, I'm going to sit over here. I don't need him to tell me that something's bothering him. I asked him, you know, what it was. He couldn't say. It just bothered him. we're to seek to put things back in order. And I like the definition that I found, to restore to or to return it to its former condition. Someone who's walking with Christ, but now they've been overtaken. What happens, see, if there's not a remedy that comes along, if someone doesn't care enough, love enough, when they see it to speak to them, what happens is that that joint, as it says in Scripture, that's out of place becomes worse. It's almost like you could say there's a wound, and if you do not seek to help to repair that wound, then there can be gangrene set in, and then it's worse. If you don't love them enough to say, you know, can I? And see, it's in the spirit of gentleness that you're coming. That's what Paul said as he begins this. Now they, I thought this was going to be bigger. Sorry. Reasons we avoid correcting. The first one is fear. We're just afraid. We're afraid that they're going to get mad and not receive it in the right way. We're afraid that it's going to, they'll leave the church. We're afraid of a lot of things. Fear should never be the reasons, a reason that we not do something. It should always be going before the Lord and saying, what should I do? You help me. And then, and just real quickly, I want to just cover this. There's a misunderstanding of Matthew 7. I think Matthew 7, verse 1, is the most quoted verse by unbelievers, especially in our day. Judge not. Don't you know the Bible says to judge not? Don't judge me. We've got a lot of segments of our society that are going, don't put your judgment on me. In fact, we're called bigots, aren't we now, Christians? We're the ones being persecuted because of our beliefs. Don't judge me. You know, that's not what that, you know, there again, because, and why do we expect it, the world to know the Bible? They don't read the rest of that, those verses there. This is the passage where Jesus said, now look, you be careful how you judge people. Don't be quick in judging. Don't be, and I think he kind of echoes Paul here, don't be harsh. Remember, this is the passage that says, before you go, you need to know that you need to judge and measure the same way that you're used to being measured. It'll be measured back to you. So, you know, Paul's admonition here to go in the spirit of gentleness, I don't know about you, but if somebody is prayed up and they love me enough to do an uncomfortable thing and they're coming very gently, well, if I have a problem with that, I'm really in trouble, aren't I? Gentle people, he said it will be measured back to you. And this is this passage where he says, and why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck out of your eye, and look, there's a plank in your own eye? Hypocrite. First remove, wait a minute, I thought we just not to judge anybody and just let everybody go on their merry way. No. First remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck out of your brother's eye. You mean I'm actually to go in the spirit of gentleness and love and speak to that brother or sister about that speck? Yes, you are. See, there's been a misunderstanding. It's like, don't judge me. And of course, then there's the probably one of the biggest reasons we realize there's sin in our own lives. We realize that we're not perfect, so how can I ever go to someone else when I see some small thing or maybe something they're caught up in? I have my own things to deal with. But that's not a reason for not going. You're not saying you're perfect when you go. In fact, one of the exercises, I think the healthy use of this means that I'm going before the Lord and I'm getting a cleansing and an examining on a daily basis. And if then someone is caught up in something, then it makes me examine my own life before I go to theirs and talk to them. You pray, you get, as the old saying is, you get prayed up. You go before the Lord. And you know what he might show you? He might show you that you do have an angst toward that person. You know? That's the reason you saw that speck. Others have been forbearing or looking over it. But maybe, again, it's something that's big enough that needs to be called to the person's attention. But because you've had a contentious relationship, you don't want to go. But there's times where I think what God is doing, guess what he's trying to do? He's trying to heal both situations. Your heart before the Lord and before that person. And then as you go, that person's heart. We have these, and then, of course, the last reason, laziness and procrastination. Oh, I hate that word. Because I'm the king of procrastination. In fact, I would be the president of the club, but I've been putting it off and not putting my name in. I've told you, the Lord knows that about me. That's why when it came to going to Columbia Bible College, I found out about Columbia Bible College the spring of my senior year, right before I was going to graduate. And then when I met Chuck Smith, guess when he came to CBC? The spring of my senior year. It's like, don't tell David anything ahead of time. One thing is, he may forget it. Secondly, he'll put it off. Just press him, he'll be all right. Any of y'all did those all-nighters before an exam in college, you know, because you kind of put off studying? We just don't want to go. We want to live our lives on an island. Things get messy when you start talking to people about things that may need to change. But I think the assurance with Paul is exactly the way the Holy Spirit had him worded. If I go in the Spirit, if you go in the spirit of gentleness, seeking to do what? To restore. Not to score points. Not to say, don't you see how much better I am than you that I would even come to you with it? No, no, no. That is so far from the... And there are times when this situation mends something. Something might have been askew that the person didn't even notice. I've been thankful when people have come to me and I go, oh no, I didn't mean that at all, and I'm sorry it came across that way. There are other times when I've had to say, you know, I had a bad day, and that was uncalled for. That kind of keeping of short accounts. Bear one another's burdens. Now, this is interesting that this would come up as he's talking about going to someone about a sin that has overtaken them. Do you hear how the Bible describes it? A burden. Sin is a burden, isn't it? I can't wait to get to a world where there is no flesh. I can't wait. I've told y'all before, one of the things that excites me the most about the first moments in heaven, and especially at the marriage supper of the Lamb, nobody's going to be looking at the seating chart. You know how we do here. We do it in Christian circles. We've got a dignitaries table. These are where the people who are on 500 radio stations sit. While all his pinions. No, we're going to be enamored with one. Jesus Christ. We're going to be awed with one, our Lord Jesus. And the praise and the honor. I know you've worried about when God says that he will reward people. And you go, what about if my reward's not, I'm going to be just. No, you're not. There's no flesh anymore. There's no sin. There's no jealousy. As I've said before, we had that discussion right up here in this upper room with the elders. And Dave's here now. Dave, I've talked about you through the years because I've used this thing. We were sitting there saying, now, we were doing that thorny thing of the scripture, trying to find that center of biblical tension about where it says that our sins are thrown in the sea of forgetfulness to be remembered no more. But then there's passages that say we're going to be held accountable, you know, and rewards and that kind of thing. We go, how's that going to work? And then somebody mentioned about, and I've said this before, the chick track. You know, the fellow who, this was just the name of a guy who started producing tracks. And this one track was called This Was Your Life. To show you how old it was, the guy died, he's up in heaven, and they're doing a projector of his life. Y'all don't even, some of you don't even know what a projector is. Right in here. DVDs, thumb drives, you know. Let's say somebody put a thumb drive in the computer up there and they're showing this person's life. And it's starting to show his sins, like the time he's looking around a building and following a lady, you know, in a lustful thought. And beads, they've drawn beads of sweats on this man's face. He goes, don't show that here in this holy place. And we were bouncing all that around and go, yeah, what are we going to do about it? And Dave spoke up and said, wait a minute, guys, we're thinking about this all wrong. We're thinking about it on this side of heaven. When we get over there, we will have no flesh. There will be no comparison. Remember, we've already read in Corinthians, he who compares themselves with another are not wise. In fact, what we'll probably do is show it all. Bring it in living color. Do you see what Jesus Christ has forgiven in me? Is that not amazing? Won't that be a glorious place? You can hang all of my dirty laundry out there. Because when you do, and I'm here in the presence of God, you will see how great and merciful and loving our God is. Glory to his name. He has forgiven. See, we all kind of put our best foot forward and we chuckle in greeting and we know how to. But guys, we're all people of the rebellion. We all have flesh. We've all failed. And our God is forgiven. We are the community of the forgiven. We are the fellowship of the redeemed. And when we sing these songs like we've sung this morning, that's what you will not have to be begged to worship the Lord. In Ephesians, it says that through the ages to come, we will be telling of his mercies toward us. You know why it's going to take ages? Because bless our hearts. I quoted it this morning. I will quote it again. 1 John 1:9. He is faithful to forgive. If we confess our sins, he's faithful to forgive us our sins. That's the ones we confessed. But to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Many times our confession is like an iceberg. Well, Lord, I've had a bad attitude so-and-so. And underneath, bad attitude, David, if you were to see, I'll forgive you for what set up that bad attitude. Paul warns us, warns the one who he's saying, You who are of the Spirit, go. There is something you need to realize when you go. Pride follows you. Pride is in you. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. See, when you go to another brother or sister and you're trying to put something right, you go with the knowledge that you have been forgiven of so much junk, right? I love the way Steve Brown puts it, one beggar telling another beggar where he's found bread. Hey, the reason that I'm coming is the Lord has forgiven me of what I'm coming to you about multiple times over. And I just want to speak this. See, when you come in that way, that's where the spirit of gentleness comes in, isn't it? When we've humbled ourselves before the Lord and humble ourselves before one another. Now he's going to switch gears in these last two verses, but let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. What he's saying is each of us have a responsibility before the Lord. And when we yield ourselves to the Lord and we're faithful to that, then there's a rejoicing that happens. Again, obedience is joy. Now, you notice the way I phrase that. I didn't say obedience brings joy, although it does. Obedience is joy. In the doing of... that, you don't need to be convinced of that, right? I mean, he is the one that made us. This is the owner's manual. And when he says, you're to love one another, and we love one another, guess what happens? Joy. I did what God told me to. I did what the Master wanted. I did what the one who I owe everything to, who I love with all my heart. He's working in me. Aren't there times when you have been prompted by the Lord to do an act of kindness or something, and you go, you don't need a thank you, do you? I know there's times, and I've told you many times, that I've gone to the hospital with the idea that I'm there to pray with them, of course, but I want to encourage them, and you know, they're hurting physically, spiritually, maybe even emotionally. I don't know countless times when I've left and got in that elevator and said, Lord, you did it again. I thought I was coming to bless, but I'm the one that got blessed. Did you hear what that person said? I told you about the time that I went to see my next-door neighbor who I grew up with, Mr. Dukes, Billy Dukes, and he was dying of cancer. And I said to him, I said, Mr. Dukes, can I pray for you? I had not gotten those words out of my mouth when this humble mill worker, who I think only had, you know, in the world's eyes, only a high school education, but loved his Lord, was kneeling beside his bed with cancer all over his body. Now, you know me. There was a long pause before I said, dear Father, had to gather myself. I went, oh my goodness, I can still see it to this day. You go, you've prayed, you've sought the Lord, he's shown you the wrong attitudes in your heart, and you're coming, not in I told you so, or look, I finally get to catch you. No, no. Oh, God has forgiven me of so much. Just want to say, maybe you need to think about this and pray about it. Let me know if there's anything I can do. Why? Because each one must bear his own load. Now, even in the English, you hear there's two different things here. It says, if we're going to fulfill the law of Christ, we're to bear each other's burdens. And sin is a burden. And we're to come along and say, snap out of it. Why? Because we know that Hebrews says, you know, there's deceitfulness of sin. and it hardens the heart. And we're going to try to get to the one we love before that hardness comes, that gangrene is set in. And there to be restoration. That's the reason we're there. That's the only reason. But we're going to stand before the Lord for the responsibilities that we have. Burden is one thing. Load-bearing is another. This is what we are designed to do, to carry certain things. Not alone, by the way. We are designed to carry a load with whose help? His help. His help. I remember hearing the story of father walking with his son and coming across a time where he thought he could get him to, and we're going to close with this, getting him to a point where he would recognize something. And so this son was picking up different rocks, and he realized that his little boy had centered on a rock that was going to be too big. And boy, sure enough, he got over there, and he puffed and puffed and couldn't pick it up. And so he started on down the road, and the dad said, whoa, 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 son, didn't you want to get this rock here? Yeah, Dad, but it's just too heavy. And he said, well, you need to try with everything that you have to pick it up. He tried again. And starts, Dad, I can't. I can't. I've tried everything. I really like the rock, but I just can't pick it up. I've tried all of the things I know. He said, no, you haven't. You haven't asked me to help you. See, God is the restorer. He's just asking us to take a little part in it. And as we go with love and gentleness, as we go in humility, realizing many times, you've heard this saying, there but by the grace of God go I, or realizing that in about a week, maybe less, a day, maybe 6 months, we may need that same brother or sister to come to us and go, you know, Dave, you need to. Right. I put off dealing with that. I can't put off any longer. Isn't it interesting that this passage, and oh, by the way, always look above. You know, chapter divisions aren't there in the original. He had just got through talking about don't bite and devour one another. Well, see, there are a lot of churches that get on this thing of let's examine one another, and boy, they end up biting and devouring one another. I think you have to be prompted by the Lord to engage in this, and when you do, you're going to be fearful. You're going to think somebody else will do it, but if God's laid them on your heart, then you're going to have to go through that painful thing of going, well, Lord, I need to make some things right. And he goes, yes, you do, David. And by the way, let's sit down. You ever been in that prayer session when you're praying about going to speak to someone and you really didn't want to? And God goes, okay, well, I'm glad that we're here talking about this matter because, yes, Lord, you're right. Restoring one another in the spirit of gentleness fulfills the law of Christ. Why? Because the two laws are love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Be willing to speak. And sometimes you can do it in kind of a gentle, humorous way to maybe start off. I don't know. The Lord will lead you. I don't want us to be police with one another. I don't want you to leave here scared. Because I think there's great joy in a fellowship that knows that any time if someone sees something in my life that needs to be spoken to, they will come in gentleness and things will be restored and things will work right. You know, I came with my fixed thing. You ever gotten in a car when I remember the first time this happened to me, you know, you guys that know how to work, when one of my spark plugs went out or the wire or something like that, and it was like, oh, Lord, I'm going to have to get a new vehicle. It jerked, it pulled. It's like, what's happened? And the guy who knows what to do said, oh, no, it's just this plug here. It's not, you don't have to have a new engine. Calm down, you know. Joy comes back into a life. We need to walk in that kind of love with God and love with others. God wants us to help each other in this journey of life, to love each other enough to say, let's get going. You're slowing down. Come on, I'll help you. Take my hand. Let's pray. Lord, give us a love for you, a love for one another, that we deal with one another in gentleness. We're not trying to score points. We're definitely not trying to stir wrath or put someone down. We're there to restore, to encourage. It matters how we go, Lord. The danger is in the one who has been spoken to go and restore. That we do not think too highly of ourselves. Lord, keep us from pride in all its forms. Keep us humble before you and before one another. We ask, Lord, that your Spirit would lead us in all things. We ask, Lord, that your Spirit would lead us in this thing. We pray in Jesus' name. You know, I think it was God's timing for us to land on this passage with the table before us. Because we all have been forgiven.